done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. He took your broken life and made you complete. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. Do you remember when, with all your heart, you longed to serve Him? But you didn't think that Jesus could use someone like you. Now look how He's used your life since He called you out. So remember where you were back then and thank Him for where you are now. Give Him the glory for what He's done in your heart. From sin and strife and gave a new start. He took your broken life and made you complete. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet.
Just a few more. Come to me and bless. Come no longer tarry. we'll be praying for upcoming Sunday school and church, and then the campers will be leaving in the afternoon, headed to Tallahassee for the first night, and then on to Pensacola. Let's see, don't have any other announcements concerning that. Now, the Venture of Faith Camp on the Go will be here at Rock Haven on July 24th and 25th. It'll be a day camp from 10:30 in the morning to 5:30. Cost is $15 and includes lunch for both days and a camp t-shirt. And this is open to those 6 and up. And Pastor has already asked us to start bringing in sodas, and I see people have started doing that. Just put them on the back pew there so they will be well stocked and here in place. And then for the ladies, coming up, a Fall Frenzy at Bible Baptist Church in Palm Harbor. That will be October 9th and 10th. And the deposit of $30 is due by August the 30th. And Brother Biz gave me a notice here, those 50 and above, but everyone, and he wanted me to emphasize everyone, is welcome. We will have a potluck supper and a movie night. It will be August the 1st, which is a Saturday evening at 5:30. And there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board as far as what you would bring, so that everybody doesn't have salad or everybody doesn't have dessert. Kind of spread it out so it's actually a meal. And that will be Saturday, August the 1st, potluck supper and a movie night. And all are welcome. Take your songbook, turn to page number 271. You may remain seated as we sing Sunlight. 271. Scripture Press, and also be praying that the Lord will provide us with a press so we can resume printing Scripture. Continue to pray for our country, our law enforcement personnel, our elected officials in courts, those serving in our military, and our Supreme Court. Remember those with unspoken requests: Rhonda Toombs, Chucky Stacy, Linda Burgos, Joyce Bass, Daryl Stacy, Mike Nelson, James Coney, Carol Corwin, Miriam Varela, Cindy Yarborough, Rena Burney, Donna Barkley, Barbara Jones, Chase Ingram, Ashley Bentley. We're praying for the salvation of the Morales family, Roberto Quinones, Roger Yates, the Foremans, Sharon Lee, Anna G. Moss, Lauren G., James Yates, and Heather Callahan. Continue to pray for our missionaries. Some of them are in the States and hoping to get back, and trying to keep in touch with their congregations through the internet and email. So difficult situations for many of our missionaries, and do be praying for them. Also the Neil Beard family, the Shoreys, are traveling. Sister Toombs, are you traveling?
I'm back.
You're back. All right. Stacy's are back. The Barbara Kirk family, Stevens family, they will be returning. Jennifer Tony, the Shane Jenkins family, the Morrow family, Spencer's will be traveling, and the Solid Rock Baptist Church, whose pastors were facing charges because they opened up. So I pray for that situation. On the medical side, the members with cancer, Ellen Rankin, Daryl Brumfield, Gene Smallman, Mariana, Charles Barkley, Daniel Troyer, Holly Whitfield, Ray Floyd, Phil Newport, Christopher Russell, Jamie, Megan Stevens, Jackie Swagman, and Cecilia Hemphill. And then those with other medical needs, Barbara Jones, Raphael Rankin, David Stevens, Randy Tony, Brittany Ferguson, Sophia Negron, Louis Sanchez Negron, Jody Papura, Katie Allison, Harold Woodall, Carol Carpenter, Charlene Parton, Ralph Stevens, Corey Smallman, Riley Toogood, Diane Baker, Raymond Nowicki, Brenda Tony, Jody Williams, Elizabeth Pope, Patty Pennington, Larry Groves, Harry Schallbarger, Janina Holroom, Isabel Hathaway, Jerry LaForce, Sue Carter, Deb McCoy, Vivian Russell, Sue Vitale, Elsie Tony, Angela Sweat, Rick Emerson, Claire Fox, Chelsea Kelly, Grace Corwin, Jennifer Stevens, Stephen Krill, Ray Moffitt, Ben, and then Sunday we added Larry Carlin, Roy Moffitt, Aiden Jenkins, Vanessa Haycraft, and Tony Montoya. Okay, are there updates on these or others to add tonight, Pastor?
Jim, let's pray for Eastern Avenue Baptist Church in San Silas. They had a soldier inside the church with COVID virus, and they had to shut down services starting tonight. All that did was shut down. Go further notice. Please pray for them. Pray for Sister Miriam. She had a tooth extracted yesterday.
Okay, thank you. Sister Kim? Travis Smith?
Charlie
Smith. Okay. Sister Stacy?
I'm very looking at Ray Moffitt. That is Roy Moffitt.
Roy.
So they're the same person.
Okay.
It's Roy. And then just to update my mom seems to be doing pretty good. She's in good spirits. And knock on wood, there hasn't been any viruses.
Family members is getting ready to have stomach surgery. So her name is Evelyn Jones.
have a time of prayer. You're welcome to pray where you are, or you can come to the front. After a few moments, with David Jones, I think we'll close in prayer.
Thank you. land of our forefathers, you used to raise this nation up as a Christian nation. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just pray that we return back to you. Lord, many have fallen away. We pray that you send revival, Lord.
Face. see you folks tonight. I hope that you have had a good first part of your week in the Lord. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 37 this evening. Don't forget, this Sunday night, choir practice will start again. And you'll be spaced out up here. And if it makes you feel comfortable to wear your mask while you're singing, that is quite all right. If you don't want to wear your mask, that's all right too. It's up to you. Do as you feel like the Lord would have you to do in that situation. Don't forget the sodas you're helping us out with. Already getting those in for the camp that's coming up, day camp. We're hoping we'll learn something from this day camp as a church that will help us as a church to learn the logistics that maybe next year, what we had talked about and planned before all of this here came about, having a day camp here for the community, how it will work. And a 2-day practice run is pretty good. So we're going to learn from this on the, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday evening, we will have a meeting to discuss how you can help as an individual. And if you want to volunteer and help during that, that will be great. Brother Ray had a good turnout on the Bible study on Tuesday. They just had the introductory portion of the miracle series. So if you was not able to make it, you didn't miss anything but the intro. So go ahead and make plans next Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock to come and to be a part of those Bible studies. That'll be a blessing. Brother Chase was able to talk to Pastor Callan, and Pastor Callan has given us to go ahead and start working on the Thailand project here. Brother Chase has set up a few stations already, and Eastern Avenue said they would loan us a couple of more staples if we need them, tabletop staples. Right now, if you can come in the daytime hours, Brother Chase said it'd be good if you came at 5 o'clock on Tuesday mornings, work 4 hours, and then go to Bible study. Since he's already here at 3:30, you won't interfere with nothing. Or you can come to Bible study on Tuesday and stay 4 hours after. That's a pretty good plan. But right now, if you are able to come anytime during the day, during the week, just contact me or contact Brother Chase, and we'll make sure that him or I is there so we can get you started on that project. And maybe do good, you get a partner to come with you. One can collate, one can staple, and y'all can talk back and forth to each other. He's got the collating stations away from the stapler station, so he's been mindful of this here distancing over there. So if you're available, come. You'll be a blessing. Get your hands on some scripture. It's been one of the thrills of the ministry at Lock Haven. When I came here, I had no earthly idea about any type of printing ministry. I've never been involved in any. But since I've come, leaving with the ink that prints the Word of God on my clothes has been a blessing. I know my wife doesn't think so, but it has been a blessing. I'm really thankful that God has allowed me to have my fingerprints on scripture that is going around the world now. And I'm looking forward to the day we get a new press and we're back printing, and I hope it's real soon. Brother Paul is diligently searching. We're going to sit down and squinch the perimeters a little bit further, closer, and so he can dial in on some certain things, and I'm looking forward to it. Actually, Brother Chase and I believe Brother Callan is going to go with us too. Sometime in August, we're going to go up to Milford, drive up there and look at their printing ministry and see if how they operate and do things. The signatures that we have over here, if you came and looked at them, they're just crisp, online, registered, back to back. And Brother, when you get that product and it's good, it's a good testimony. When a lost person looks and picks it up and it's registered there, it makes an impression. You know, that first impression. So be in prayer about that. really is important that we get busy back doing that. Psalms 37:7. Don't forget, campers, Sunday morning, be here with your bags, ready to load up before Sunday school so we can be ready to go. Have your mask with you because we do not know where we might stop, and I would hate for you not to be able to use the bathroom if that restroom place says, no, don't come in without a bath, without a mask. So bring your mask with you, and we'll wear it when it's appropriate and how it's appropriate. And if your parents tell you need to wear it the whole time, please, parents, let us know, because I can't read minds. So if you want them to wear it full time, you got to let us know that, okay? If not, we'll wear it whenever the establishment we're at says it's okay or needful, and what county says it's needful. All right. Sometimes when you're fishing, you hit a hot spot, you get under a dock, or you get in some hydrilla grass or some lily pads, and you catch five or six of them, and it kind of goes away. Can't catch no more in that spot. You know there's more there, just the fish have gotten wise to it. And you leave, you come back in a couple of three, 4 hours, and you might get two or three more bites. I know that in April, I preached out of Psalms 37. But I got a few more bites. And so tonight, I don't want you saying, well, I remember in April, preacher preached out of Psalms 37. I think there's something here that could help us. It's helped me as I studied for it and looked for it. Psalms 37:7. And so I'm just swinging back by, and I just see something here. Stress has been high lately. A lot of folks, a lot of areas, a lot of people's lives. Sometimes you look at the wicked and how it seems as though they prosper. And you look at their prosperity, it brings stress into your life. Sometimes it's caused by the personal inadequacies. We look at it, you know, maybe there's something here, you know, that I'm not capable of or able to do. And sometimes it's because as life goes on, you realize there's some things you cannot do anymore, physically. Just simply that way. Wish I had the energy that I had when I was 20. No longer got it. No longer has. It's not there. And it brings some frustrations, Brother Connie, many times. Because you see things that need to be accomplished and you're just not able to do it. And it seems as though nobody's wanting to do it. That it has the ability. The Bible teaches us very strongly that we should serve God in our youth. And the youth is drawn. They're pulled. This world is pulling our workers, our laborers, to no end. I mean, they're just pulling. So there's stress. I'll be honest with you, dear friend. It's very difficult in this age which we live in to live a good, godly Christian life. It is difficult. It's not impossible because Noah lived in such a time as what we're living through now. In such a way that Jesus gave an example as in the days of Noah. So what we're going through is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. But it is difficult. But sometimes I think there's other areas that we as God's people bring stress into our life that we don't need to. For example, there is stress that is caused by the struggle for you and I many times to accept the unexplainable hand of God at work in our life. I'm going to be honest with you, there's just things that I can't explain, but I know that it's God. There's things that goes on in my life that it is It's God. I can't explain it to you. If I try, it makes the situation more murky. It brings up more questions than answers. And the Bible says here in Psalms 37 and verse 7, now two people this week, as I preach this, you're going to think this sermon is out of conversations that you and I had. It's not. This sermon has been on the back burner now for over 2 weeks. It's just, this is when God's given me liberty. But this week, I've talked to folks that are struggling, that have stress in their life, and they can't, and some of it is because of this very situation that's going on. The Bible says in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Remember, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. But it seems that he's prospering in his way, comma, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. There are many things in your life and my life, dear friend, that we simply lack explanation for, and we try to explain. It's difficult. Now listen, the Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer of the hope which lieth in us. We shouldn't have difficulty explaining Jesus Christ, our Savior. There's no reason that we should not be able to take Scripture, survey the life of Christ, hide that in our heart, and be ready to give an answer while we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's not what I'm talking about. There's other areas. Like looking at the wicked, and it seems as though they're prospering, and like, what's going on here, God? And not being able to explain that. Some of us get so hung up on trying to explain these unexplainable areas in our life that we just bog down and we're absolutely no good to the way of Christ. Because we're trying our dead level. It's like it's our mission in life to explain the unexplainable. The Bible says that we are to avoid vain and babblings. I don't know why it is other than this. Cain got his wife from his family. I'm not going to go into 14 different dialogues with you about that situation. I understand incest today is absolutely wrong. It wasn't in the beginning of time. Sin has its way of running through people's bodies. And it has made a change in so much that in the book of Leviticus, after some time, God said, no more, because of sin. Listen, in this day and age which we live in, when we get into arguments of trying to explain the unexplainable things that happen by the hand of God, and being a child of God, this world tries to use it against you. For instance, last week I went up to the airport to pick up Brother... who we had preaching last week? Stringer. Jeez. Almost forgot. And I'm sitting there waiting for him to get out. I see him coming through the door, so I stop. I get back and I check. I drop him off. We go out and get a bite. We drop his stuff off. We go get a bite to eat. And before I'm back eating, I see that I have an email from somebody. And I look at it, and the email is very argumentative. I saw your van at the church. I looked at what you believe, and I want you to know you're no servant of God. It's an email. Because you believe hell is forever. So, me being, I didn't have to join myself to that fight. But I just copy down a verse over in Revelation. I don't try to give my opinion. I copied some verses out of Revelation where death and hell would be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. I hope this helped you. Have a good day. It didn't help. I promise you it didn't help. Because this rascal had done written a book. And he told me, read my book that I wrote. It will explain this to you. He had attached his book to it. I just simply wrote back, sir, if hell is not forever, heaven is not forever. You can't have it both ways. Because God uses the same terminology for heaven as he does hell. He wrote me back again. I have an answer. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, answer a fool according to his folly. And a couple of verses says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. In other words, there comes a time where you're just going to join yourself to vain battle. I don't have time to sit here and try to convince somebody that hell's for real and hell's forever. Here's the clue. One of us is going to be right. Forever's going to mean forever. Eternity's going to be forever. Tormented day and night. And one of us is going to find out. Because I know I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven because I trust Jesus Christ, my personal one Savior. But the answer is going to come real soon. But some of us think we've got to argue these things. And we argue, we fuss, and we fight back and forth. Sometimes it gets so bad we tend to argue with God. Look over here in Genesis chapter number 42. Those things on my glasses have gone crazy. Look over here in Genesis 42. Verse number 36. Oh, Jacob. Later on part of his life, Joseph had been sent off into bondage by his brothers. Now they're going back to Egypt and wanting to be preserved because they heard about this here wise person over there in Egypt that took up and kept back portions of the harvest. 42:36. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Now he's talking about the boys that came back. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. You remember Simeon's back over there. And Joseph had told them, but they didn't know that Joseph was the one. But Joseph had told them, go back and bring your younger brother. Now he says, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Yet God was at work. He couldn't explain what was going on, but he was being preserved. God was at work. Joseph understood it. Even at the back end of this, Joseph says, you meant it for harm, but for bad, for evil, but God meant it for good. And now he's arguing these things because he can't explain what's happening now. So Jacob's now arguing. Look over in 1 Kings chapter number 19. He can't explain why. Jacob couldn't explain how all this was going on, but now he's going to argue. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now here's Elijah. First Kings chapter 19, verse number 4. Now you understand, there's great things have happened up to this point. Great things. Elijah's done defeated by the power of God, the prophets of Baal. The Bible says here in verse 46 of chapter 18, and then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab and to the entrance. He outran the chariot. I mean, he's just, some great things has happened. Well, listen to what happens here in verse number 4 of chapter 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." He's discouraged. He's troubled. He's seeing the wicked prosper after the powerful hand of God was upon him. After fire came down and just consumed the sacrifice there. After he ran and caught and chased down a chariot. Now he's finding himself in a part that he still sees Ahab. He still sees Jezebel prospering. And now he says, and he went a little bit farther. And he said, "It is enough, God. Am I better?" There was 400 of them crying and screaming a better part of a whole day, and couldn't get a spark to spark. "Am I? No, I'm not even better than my fathers." And so now he's not understanding up to this point. What is going on, God? Why are you not moving? They're prospering. And he comes to that point. Go over to Jonah. Jonah chapter number 4. We know the story of Jonah. God says, "Arise, go to Nineveh and preach." Jonah says, "No way. I ain't going to do it." He takes a ticket and buys a ticket, gets on a boat, goes the opposite direction. Jonah chapter number 4. Gets swallowed up by a whale. Spends 3 days in the whale. The whale spits him up. God says in verse chapter 2, "Arise and go. Preach to Nineveh." He did. He gets done preaching. A great revival takes place. Look in verse chapter 4, verse 9. And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto the death." He's arguing with God about a gourd that was dried up. And this is how we get many times. When we can't explain just exactly what's going on, I can't explain exactly what God is doing during this time. I don't know what God is working, but He is at work. He's not up there doing nothing. He's not on strike walking around heaven. I'm against humans. No! For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But when we begin to argue and complain and fight against the hand of God because we cannot explain it, it causes a lot of stress in our life that we don't have to have in our life. I think the Bible says it very plainly. There's enough trouble for the mark. I don't need to be borrowing trouble. And when we can't explain it, dear friend, then we have to step into faith. The just shall live by faith. We just say, "God, I don't understand what you're doing, and I have no clue." And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you can't explain it, it can get very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable in our life. And when you can't explain it, what are we supposed to do? Very plainly, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. This is a common theme throughout the psalm. Rest in the Lord. And when I looked that up, when it it's talking about resting in the Lord right here. It's as if it's saying, wait and be silent toward the Lord. Be silent and wait quietly until the Lord speaks. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Allow the Lord to work. Quit falling into plan B, C, and D. Allow God to work. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. We've got to be silent. We've got to be quiet. We've got to wait. Probably the most difficult requirement that God puts on us as His children is this. Don't do nothing. Let me do it. Be quiet. Rest in me. And let me do it. How long is a day with the Lord?
A thousand years.
And 1,000 years is how long with the Lord?
A day.
What does that teach us? Time is absolutely meaningless to God. Time means nothing to the Lord. We've got to get to the point where we're not caught up in this instant gratification that we have been taught for decades now. Get to the point where God, I can't understand what's going on. I have no idea why these here people are even allowed to even hold office of authority. I can't figure it out. In the time of Cyrenius, there went forth a decree that all should go and be taxed. Like right now, Joseph, I mean, you don't notice that I am pretty well rounded. This is Mary talking to Joseph outside of Scripture. Can you imagine the conversation? But there was Scripture that said the child had to be born in Bethlehem. They couldn't explain what was going on. They had no idea what was going on. Like right now? Like, is there any way we can fill out a form and just send it in? No, we don't accept mail-in ballots. Got to show up in person. So on the donkey they went. Can you imagine the trip on a donkey being that far pregnant? Then when you get there, tired as you could be, and you think, wow, we finally made it. This is going to be okay. It's over. We made the crossing. 60 some odd miles, I think maybe even up to 80 miles, depending on which way you travel, which road you took, on the donkey. Need a room. Sorry, we're full. Why? Because everybody is doing what the person in authority said to do. Traveling for the census. It's the first time humans had to be under human authority, is it? But it was God's plan, wasn't it? Mary, we don't have a place. I don't know what we're going to do. Instead of, can you imagine the 10 to 15 prior knocking on the door of the guy? And how much of an argument and a fight they must have put up with? How much of a ride? Listen, I need a bed And I don't know if you're charging that room $20 or 40 shekels or 50 pieces of silver. I will triple it. Can you imagine the argument? What do you mean you don't have a bed? Give me a place to sleep. It says this is an inn. No vacancy, sorry. What do you think must have turned his heart and said, I don't have nothing? But after fooling with the last 10, the meekness of Joseph, sir, I don't have much. But just because of your character, just because of your attitude, just because of the way you carried yourself, I hate to even offer, but I do got a manger, a place where the animals are sleeping around there that you can just get out of the bed, get out of the weather. I don't know why he chose to offer Joseph that. I am almost certain in my heart he could have probably rented it out already. Could have been something to do with God at work. You say, really? Was God at work? God was at work. God is at work fulfilling Scripture. I don't know why the wicked is prospering. I don't know why we have wicked people in power. I don't have why we have companies that produce wicked stuff, that though it seems as if they're prospering and God's people are not. Because we can't explain it, doesn't mean we're not prospering. Rest in the Lord, it says in Psalms. Wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently. Can you imagine a silent tongue? Many times shows just how wise you are and how a meek and humble heart you have, because not every battle I must win. But many times and most of the time the battle is and should be the Lord's. The psalmist, as he writes, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. I think we need to be careful that we don't get upset over something that is hard to understand, because when we get upset, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I think if we take and we look at this a different way, when we read it, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We get our eyes caught on the material goods, and we believe that we are being unjustly rewarded. But if you read it like this, go look. It says, because of the man. So think like this. Think with me just for a minute. The man who bringeth wicked devices to pass prospereth in his way. Now we're looking at it a little differently. We're not seeing the wealth or the gain or the prosperity. We're seeing the wicked man. And when we look out and we see wicked men, many times it's repulsive, isn't it? It draws us back and it causes us to take caution. It causes us to take a different reason. When we reverse and look, the reason he's prospering is that word, because of his wicked devices. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything I don't want anything if I gained it in an evil way. I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't desire it. If any way, shape, form, or fashion, I had to do it in an evil way. So, Pastor, you can be pretty well off if you do some things this way or that way. You can actually get by and have a little bit left over more than the IRS would let you if you just do this or that a little bit crooked. Do you want ill-gotten gains to be your legacy? Well, nobody will know. I beg your pardon. Joseph said, all of the workers were gone out of the house. That's what Scripture says. Joseph and Mrs. Potiphar. Nobody will know. I think Joseph gave us that answer. I won't do this great sin against God. So whatever evil device, isn't that what it says? Let's read again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because this is the reason of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Whatever device or scheme that we think we can come up with is not going to pass God's eye without him seeing. So if it's not going to pass God's eye for you and I, it's not going to pass for them. Our problem is we're seeing the prosperity, but not the means of the prosperity. When we go and we look at the reason they're prospering is because of their wicked devices. The wicked shall not prosper. Not at all. They're not going to prosper at all. I think we can probably go in our own experience, our own common lives, and look and find some common denominators that I was blessed this day, and it still stands. I got gain, but it's like riches take wings as birds and fly away. How you get it matters, my friend. Matters. Okay, listen. When we're faced with these unexplainable phenomenons that we come up with, wow, the wicked are prospering. That must be an abomination to God. There's some very wicked people in this world prospering now. But I think if you want read in light of Luke, where the rich man fared sumptuously in the day, in his way, in his life, but when death came, in hell he lifted his eyes. We need to come to a point when we have these unexplainable things in our eyes. Why is there a revival in Nineveh, God? God was at work. We don't have to argue about it. Not even Jonah got angry, it said. We come to a point where God works great miracle after great miracle, and then you turn back and you look, because you remember Elijah went a little bit further. When he got off and he looked again, Jezebel was still in power. Ahab was still in power. He says, God, I am no better than my fathers. But God was at work. God had already prepared Jehu. Y'all know Jehu? Jehu was a man that drove fierce. He would fit in fine around us. I think his chariot would run some folks off the road. Jehu was waiting for the time when God put it into action. God was at work. What if Joseph is gone? You bereaved me. Simeon's in jail back in Egypt, and now you want me to let you take Benjamin? God was at work. And when was all said and done, when God was, what happened? We've got to bring these times and present them to the Lord. Bring them before the Lord and say, Lord, here they are. I can't understand. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to walk by faith. And Lord, I'm going to leave it up to you for the end result. And if the end result is not what I think I should have got, I'm going to believe that you know what's best for me. Talking about leaving some stress away from you, off of you, gone. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I tend to think, Brother Paul, I tend to think that God has a plan for every situation from the beginning of time to the end of time. I believe my Bible teaches me that my God is sovereign. That He doesn't pause and ask me questions on how He should do this or how He should do that. He's at work. He desires me to yield myself to Him so that I can enjoy the blessings of God. That might mean that my greatest blessing for God is that I'm simply a janitor my entire life. I make $29,000 a year. I pay rent and have an apartment. I have a buy here, pay here car. But when the trump of God sounds or my life is in heaven, because of faith in His Son and through the redemption blood of Christ, I have eternal life in Him. It may be that I am a billionaire. I don't know. That's God's plan. But I leave it up to Him and say, Lord, here's my life. You work it and have pleasure in me where You would have me to be. I do think God's timing and His hand at work is perfect. It's perfect. Even though I don't agree with it, I don't understand it, I can't explain it, it's perfect. Lord, I know You made that nap. If you're trying to make a point, that thing is nasty. Oh. Hello, Internet. Listen, take caution. I'm done. If things are not left with and up to Him, I can guarantee this one thing in your life. You're going to have more and more and more stress. And so much stress that it's going to deplete you of any ability to worship Him who is worthy. God. It will deplete you of the energy to worship Him. And He is worthy of that worship. He is worthy of that praise. He said, preacher, but I don't have but so little to give Him. He was so impressed with the widow lady who put in two mites that He preserved her story in Scripture. I can tell you this, when you yield yourself 100% to Him, totally to Him, just like He wrote that story in the Bible for us to preach from and to read from and to learn from, I believe personally that He speaks to those in heaven and says, hey, did you see what that person just did? Look, hey, pay attention over there. I believe He calls attention to Him. I believe he says there's a great cloud of witnesses. That's what Hebrews teaches us. They're not just witnessing to wait to see us stump our toe or to falter and fall and to make trample over the blood of Christ. I think they're waiting to say, hey, did you see the love that they show toward the Father? And they're not here yet. Doesn't the Bible say, blessed are those who have not seen just saying, dear friend, quit looking out here at the wicked prospects. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Things we can't understand will control us and create all kind of stress if we don't turn it over to the Lord. And I'm not going to tell you that a week, month, a year, the sixth time you go through the same situation, that the light bulb don't come on and say, oh, wow, hey, that's what he was doing. But I'm talking right now, whatever you're going through, there is more, listen, I honestly believe this, there is more of God's love in my life on my worst day. In my worst day. There's more love in my life of God in my worst day than there is of any successful day of the week. More. I believe. Why? Let me clarify this. I believe that God loved the entire world. Red, yellow, blue, black, anybody that turns to Him and trusts Him. He died and gave Himself for the world. But I believe in my life is the love of God because I have the Holy Spirit of God living in me. And a lost person that's living wickedly, though God loves them, I may be saying that a little crazy because God loves us all equally. But He's given me a portion of Him to live within me. And they don't enjoy that. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. God loved the world. It loves me anymore because I'm good or anymore than I'm bad. His love is steady. But He gives me His Spirit to live within me. To guide me, lead me, help me through those difficult times. So, here's a quote by somebody unknown, I don't know. It just says unknown. Don't criticize the drama if you leave before it's completed. Not drama like that we see. A play. You know, you go to a public live event, you leave 45 minutes into it, so that's the worst thing I ever heard, seen in my life. Well, you didn't see the whole picture. Stop criticizing your walk with God. Wait till the end, because He's at work. He's at work. Father, we love You. I know I went a bit long tonight, Lord, but I just ask You, God, to help us. We've got several folks in our family, Lord, that are struggling, stressing, waiting weights upon them. I pray this was a help to them, blessing those, Lord, I don't know about, or those that will be coming into some events in their life that will be stressful. I pray, God, that just rest on You. Wait patiently. Help them not to look around this old wicked world and the seemingly success of this world. It's temporary. It's just temporary. God, help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on You. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed You. Cleanse our hearts and our minds. Watch over those that are sick. Help us, Lord, this week to honor You. In Jesus' name.